Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
Again, what a blessing Brother Latta has been and continues to be. And wherever this church calls him or another one, we're just so thankful for the time he's been here and his faithfulness, his loyalty, his hard work, his love, his compassion, and just so our church has so benefited from his ministry here, Miss Julie, and what a blessing his kids are that I love to pick on. And so, what a blessing. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look with me, very familiar passage. And I appreciate Brother Hampton already touching on preaching the word, being in season, out of season, reproved. But here we got, again, Paul speaking to young Timothy, the young pastor. It says in verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. Again, Lord, may you bless the ministry and the person of Brother Latta and his family. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul here uses the analogy of the Christian life, and especially here the ministry of being a war. And I can tell you that's a good analogy. It absolutely is. And there are going to be in your life many battles, and certainly in the ministry there are many battles. The battle rages on. The devil doesn't like what you're doing. Doesn't like it. And I can tell you, every time that we've seen in this church, and you've witnessed some of it, you know, something great happened or whatever, the devil, boy, he just tries to step right in and tear things down. And I mean, he hates it. He hates what we're doing. He hates what you're trying to do. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like where you're headed. Don't think he's not stupid. I don't use the S word very often, but I just used it. He's not. He knows exactly where you're headed and what your vision is and what your passion is. And he knows your level of energy. He knows the love that you have for the ministry and the love for souls that you have. And he's going to do anything he can to try to stop it. It's a war. It's a battle taking place. And many of you who have been at Heritage very long, you know it has. And in the ministry, we must be reminded over and over again that we are in a battle. In verses 1, he speaks about, again, the grace that he has given to us. He says, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Listen, we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But also be reminded this afternoon that we are saved, and that in our salvation's by grace, but we are to live by grace. That the grace that God gives us for salvation is that same grace he gives us in serving him, in ministry. Again, grace, God's freely given favor, even unto enablement. It is this grace of God, it's the grace that we should be strong in order that we might go into this battle, that we might stay in the battle, that we might endure hardness, that we might not entangle ourselves with the things. It's the grace of God that empowers us to war. It's the grace of God that we should rely on. I could tell you stories, lots of stories. I'm not going to tonight, but when you start relying upon yourself and upon your own power, and you'll know when it happens, just know that things don't go near as well. We have to rely upon His grace and His power. And many times it'll be your wife that tells you, "Hey, the Lord's really in this one, or that you're really serving and you're doing too much on your own." And I love somebody in the upstairs a while ago when we were questioning him, says, "Hey, you need to rely a lot upon your wife." It's amazing how God has given women and ladies that intuition. It's amazing. We need to rely upon His grace in the battle. And then we are to take the truth and tell others Again, that truth that we've been given, we ought to tell others. We ought to make disciples. And I know your philosophy of ministry, and I know you understand it well, that there was a time, and especially in independent Baptists in the past, who spent all their time winning people but never discipling them. And those days should be over. I mean, we need to understand that the Great Commission is threefold, that it's to win people to Jesus, it's to baptize them, it's to disciple them. And when you just win people to Jesus and you don't baptize them, you don't disciple them, you have not fulfilled the Great Commission. It's incomplete obedience. And we need to be reminded over and over again to go and tell the truth and to preach the truth and that they may receive it and that they may be taught the truth, that they may tell others. And we need to be disciple makers. The truth, the Word of God, to take the truth. By the way, to take the truth without wavering. Not bending to the enemy. We live in a day and age in which people have heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. And we know we're living in the last days. And I know some of these movements you're more aware of than I am. You do a lot more, maybe in that circle more so than me as far as reading blogs. And I'm not a blog reader. Not a lot. But there's the seeker-sensitive movement. And though it's been around for millennia, you know, Rick Warren made it popular. And we need to be reminded that it's not about making the congregation feel good. It's about pleasing the Savior, pleasing the Lord. It's not about making the sinner comfortable. It's about making sure that Jesus Christ is comfortable in the church, that we ought to be careful. We need to be careful about worldliness in the church, and I'll use the word contemporary, and you'll understand what that means, and being careful in all these things, the radical grace movement, and so many other things out there, plethora of isms out there now, that not just the liberals have got caught up in, but many fundamental Baptists have got caught up in. And you need to be aware and understand and stand and be so very careful. Keep the fundamentals, the virgin birth, and you know what they are, and stand. Never wavering. The King James Bible, and I've seen so many of my friends begin to turn in these areas, and people, guys my age that I associate with, and just stay by the stuff. Just stay by the stuff, the music. Just stand. Don't give in. Don't give in. Don't give in. Stand. And when you're done standing, stand some more. You'd be amazed at how many people will come to you and say, "Well, preacher, can I sing this?" Or, "Preacher, if we just change our music a little bit." No, stand. "Well, if we started using this..." No, just stand. Stand. By the way, at what point you decide, if you decide, to change your views from what you said tonight, I hope that you'll return your ordination certificate to us. I know a lot of men out there serving today who were ordained by good, solid, conservative, independent Baptist churches or Baptist churches, period. They're out there as liberal as they can be. They ought to all return their ordination certificates to their conservative, traditional churches. Amen? I already get big amen from the pastors over here. There we go. Tell the truth. Preach the truth. Rely upon the grace of God. And of course, then verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier. We're in a warfare. Ephesians speaks about putting on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand in that evil day. And listen, that day is here. We need to stand, endure. Endurance. It's something I'm not good at physically. Endurance. But endurance as a Christian, endurance as spiritually, long distance. It's going to be a long battle. Again, as Paul uses the analogy of a war, he uses the analogy of the race, and it's a long distance race. It's a marathon, and you have to endure. Trials will come. Detours will happen. Difficulties will come. Sicknesses and death and hurts and pain and people that you love whom supported you, now not supporting you. Everything you can imagine will happen to you. Be unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Schisms will happen. People, again, buildings. I don't know, talk about all those. Look at them though, amen? Bills. Electric bills do, you know. Family, friends, city councils. County. I don't know what else I want to talk about, but I'm not going to talk about anything else. It's worth it all. Unmovable. And I love that you picked out the song. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see his face. Paul endured hardness as a good soldier. We're not going to turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 talks about all that he endured. Boy, we have endured minuscule amount compared to what Paul endured and what Jesus Christ endured on the cross. The opportunity to compromise will arise. It will happen. Be steadfast and don't give in. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on, warring and battling. Stay focused. The Bible says there in verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself. Again, being steadfast. Don't get entangled with the other things that could happen in the ministry. In other words, we're not in it for filthy lucre. We're not in it for the money. Or we're not in it for the popularity. Being careful about being entangled with the things of the world. And I love that you have some hobbies, and every pastor ought to have some hobbies. And those pastors who don't have hobbies end up mentally ill. I mean, you need some hobbies. You need some other things that you do. But be careful about those hobbies. And make sure you're balancing those hobbies with the ministry as well. And what I'm really saying is, you can spend time on the golf course, just don't spend 3 days a week out on the golf course. Right, Brother Tyler Bittner? Good? Notice I said Bittner, not Tyler Gillett. There you go. It's good to have hobbies. I'm thankful. Years ago, I've told the story, Brother Terry, taking my boys out fishing, and we ended up with a hobby. And I didn't have one before that. And so to have that, to spend time with your kids and so forth, so good. Keep your eyes on winning the battle. Fight the good fight of faith. Be a good soldier. Fight for the Word of God, that revealed body of truth. Stay focused. Keep the main thing the main thing. Preach the Word. Brother Hampton, just preach the Word. Instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preaching absolutely includes reproving and rebuking. I tell people to come to our church, if you come six weeks in a row, at some point your toes should be stepped on. And though we shouldn't shear the sheep every Sunday, there needs to be a time when we stand up. I don't think anymore we have to tell guys to quit shearing the sheep all the time. I think now it's the opposite. Most men won't preach what the Lord Holy Spirit lays on their heart and say things that should be said. And when the Holy Spirit says something to you, you should say it. And stand up for truth and reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Make sure keeping the main thing, preaching and personal evangelism and prayer. And then motives. Motives matter. Our rewards in heaven will be based upon our motives. It says there that we should not entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may what? Please him. Our motives should be to please the Lord. Please him. I don't have to please the deacons. I don't even have to please my wife. I don't have to please my friends. I'm talking about my preaching. I don't have to please any of these. I just got to please him. And sometimes it may not be popular. We just got to please the Lord. Glorify him in everything. It's not your job to please the crowds. Please the Lord. Sometimes it's hard. I'm appreciative of a church, and I was praying with you a while ago, appreciative of a church that has allowed me to preach what the Lord lays upon my heart. I'm appreciative of a church heritage that has allowed a vision that we had to continue towards that vision. And I pray that, again, that you would have that same kind of people that we have here, and what a blessing it is. But please the Lord. And then he says that has chosen you. Chosen you. Lord chose you. He's called you to the ministry. The greatest, greatest occupation of all time. He chose you. Amen? He called you. Please him. We know the calling of God is without repentance. Just endure hardness as a good soldier. The calling of God is something special upon your life. We witnessed it for 8 years. What a blessing to see that calling, and I'll use kind of a wimpy word, blossom. It's been amazing to see. It's a wimpy word. I just wanted to clarify. Blossom. it's amazing to see, and our church would testify to this, to see God just use you and grow you. Amen. You and Miss Julie both. Endure hardness. I don't know about you, but Paul wrote that down for a reason. I think it's because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Tell the truth. Endure. Stay focused. Keep your heart right. Keep your motives right. I can't say that I've always done that. And there'll be times when yours gets out of whack. And God will bring you back. Or some church member will come up and say something to you sometime. You're like, oh yeah, I've kind of let it get too much of me. Or your wife will bring it up. Honestly, it's amazing to bring you back. Keep your heart right. Keep your motives right. Remember that you're called. I gave this illustration a while back, but there was a war, the Civil War. Doesn't necessarily matter which war, which battle, but there was a story told of a battle taking place and there in the Civil War. And as they were going forward, one of the men got shot and could barely walk. And he went to his superior and said, "Hey, man, what do I do? I'm hurt." And he said, "Well, just go to the rear. Go to the rear. Give me your gun and go to the rear." Well, the soldier said, "Well, that sounds better. At least I won't have bullets flying at me." And so he went to the rear of the regiment and found out there was a fight going on back there as well. The people were shooting the soldiers in the back of the column. And so he went back up to the front and said, "Hey, give me my gun back. They're fighting back there too." I'm just telling you, there's no room for retreat. The fight rages on. The war, it's a battle. It's a war. And you just keep on keeping on. And fight the good fight of faith. That's there in First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. And then it says, be a good soldier. Fight the good fight. Be a good soldier. And God has called you to do so. But glad we love you. And your family is so precious to us. And we're praying for you. And however God leads, whatever happens in the next few weeks, we're praying for you. And we love you. As a friend as well. It's been amazing. 8 years. And anybody put up with this church and myself for 8 years is... You have accomplished a lot. And then Julie puts up with you, so it's good. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your love. Lord, we just thank you so much for the testimony and the writings of Paul. God, may you help us all to endure as good soldiers. Lord, may you be with Brother Lida and Miss Julie as they continue to go forward in the battle. Lord, that through your grace, you would empower them and strengthen them and enable them as they go forward. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.